If you're a Marvel Universe fan, you probably remember this.
Your heart is so full of hatred, you're not fit to be a king.
And if you're a DC Universe fan, you should remember this.
Daughters of Themyscira, show him your fear!
Here's the thing. One of this is based on a myth, while the other was inspired by real people. I know you might be wondering which people. Why don't you stick around to find out? But first, let me take you on a journey to La République du Bénin. Oh, sorry, my bad. The Kingdom of Dahomey. Hello, Jammy fam. Welcome to another episode of Long Story Short. I am your host, Diwa. This week's story might seem improbable, but it is true. Women who held nothing back and gave their all for king and country. That's our focus this week. So, grab a coffee and take a sit, cause it's story time. Dahomey was a pretty small kingdom that had enemies from all sides. It thrived in slave trade and small wars that saw the kingdom progress in some way, if you think about it. However, due to its involvement in too many wars, the male population dwindled and the need for a standing army that could carry out the kingdom's campaigns grew. The king sought to solve this issue by recruiting women to serve in a special force. These women would be technically married to the king himself, since they were not allowed to be married or have children, although they still had prestige in the kingdom. The experience of a woman in hunting and other physical activity considered to be tasking could determine her recruitment into the Women Corps of Warriors. However, while some were recruited at a very young age, some came from the king's harem. The Mino, as they were called, which means our mothers in foreign language, went through rigorous training like any male soldier would go through. However, theirs was much more. Top of their training was the requirement to shed off any kind of emotional or sentimental feeling or attachment to anyone or anything. During training, they were required to take life with expressionless faces, which must come with a single strike of their blade. And their blades were pretty sharp. Pretty sharp. While discipline was a major part of their training, intense physical exercise, which included hand-to-hand combat, survival skills, indifference to pain and death, and executing prisoners, was crucial to their development as elite warriors. Serving in the Mino was not a little achievement, it was a big one. These warriors did enjoy some privileges while serving the king though. While men were not allowed to be in the king's palace at night, these women could stay and could move about freely within the palace. About 50 slaves were assigned to each warrior. That's one warrior to 50 slaves. While they had a steady supply of tobacco and alcohol, something highly coveted in those days. The Moni army had three main wings, the right and left wings, and the elite center wing, or Fanti. Each of these wings had five subgroups, which were the artillery women, the elephant huntresses, the musket-bearing frontline group, the razor women, which were the ones with the blades, and the archers. Apart from their military duties, they had a prominent role in the kingdom's Grand Council, where they debated Dahomey's policy on trade and other pertinent matters. They combined this with their daily work within the palace. Their work included indigo dyeing, weaving and selling mats, palm oil production and distribution, as well as sewing and embroidering cotton cloth. Should the soldiers leave the palace for anything, they were heralded by a slave who would ring a bell announcing their presence in the community. The slave would tell the people to give way, avert their eyes, and bow to these warriors. They were so revered that touching any of them would lead to death. As the strength of the Mino grew, so did their successes on military campaigns. They played a pivotal role, alongside the male troops of course, in conquering some surrounding kingdoms. But they could never overcome the Oyo Empire. One time, when the Oyo Empire annexed the Dahomey Kingdom, these warriors were able to restore some form of independence to the state after defeating an ally of the Oyo Empire. So they felt they could take on this empire and decided to start their campaign by attacking Abeokuta, the capital of Egbaland, which was also under the Oyo Empire. On the two occasions they tried, with 13 years apart, they lost both battles and suffered heavy casualties. As times changed and with the invasion of Europeans into the African continent, the Moni warriors were confronted by new enemies. And the French, who wanted their slice of the African continent, could not have them stand in their way. With the French having already set up a colony in Porto Novo, they wanted to take the rest of the state under their administration. In 2 years, they fought two brutal battles with the Moni army, who stood as the last line of resistance for the Dahomey Kingdom. But due to their already depleted numbers and the more advanced weaponry of the French, the warriors fell and were nearly wiped off entirely. However, their hand-to-hand combat skills and bravery left an indelible mark on the French soldiers. So, how did we get here? Ha, yes. The warriors led by Okoye in Black Panther, the movie, the ones we heard at the beginning of this episode, were inspired by these warriors from ancient Dahomey. So, they are not fictional. The Moni were not just warriors. They were entrepreneurs who contributed to the trade and economy of their kingdom. They were also active in the political climate of the state, not because they were considered mere women, but because they were valued by their society. With the French having already set up a colony in Porto Novo, they wanted to take the rest of the state under their administration. In 2 years, they fought two brutal wars with the Moni army, who stood as the last line of resistance for the Dahomey Kingdom. With this, we draw the curtain on this week's episode of Long Story Short. As you have listened, don't forget to share with everyone you meet. Yes, everyone. I'll see you in the next episode. Say Anjuma.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and Aiko Rizu. This episode was edited, mixed and mastered by Kachi Onyenokwe. Long Story Short is a production of Jamit Media.